You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great, beautiful Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 1. Luke, chapter 1, verse 1. This is one of the very few times each year that I cannot say where we left off last time. As you know, I teach book, chapter, verse, and line like we're supposed to do. Excuse me. But it's a special season, so we're going to learn about the reason for the season. Amen. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching and then Fervent Prayer for America, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You're also invited to come here each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, internet taping, and SoundCloud teaching. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. One more thing before we begin. Let's remember with love our friend Ted Simmons. Ted Simmons has moved to heaven. He was one of my first adult students when I began my school almost 40 years ago. He was a great pianist. He was a wonderful friend, a Christian. We were like brothers. When I was terrorized by drug gangs, he would help me move my piano. He was a very expert electrical engineer at NASA. When he retired, he opened his own business, Simmons Piano Tuning Business, tuning, refinishing, and rebuilding pianos. Actually, Ted's been gone to heaven for several years, but I only found out it about yesterday, so I had to honor him. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the life of Ted Simmons. We're so grateful, Father, that he's a Christian, that he loves you, and we know there's alive and well with you. I ask that you would touch his wife, Kathy, his daughters, Donna and Mary, and their children. And I ask for Ted Simmons, Father, you would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Give him joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, you're the potter and I'm the clay, and I don't tell you what to do. But if you would you please tell Simmons, Ted Simmons, that Sherry loves him, and I'll see him again. We remember Ted Simmons with love, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now Luke chapter 1, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, love gives. Love gives. Luke's name means light bearer. Light is truth, and truth is the word. It was written in about 70 AD. All four Gospels tell the story of Jesus in different views. Matthew tells us that Jesus is king. Mark tells us that Jesus is a servant ruler. He washed our dirty feet, he washed our dirty sins away. John tells us that Jesus is king, and Luke tells us that Jesus is the ideal man, tempted in all ways like you and I are, yet without sin.
Verse 1. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which most surely are believed among us.
Luke says a lot of people are trying to tell the story about Jesus.
Verse 2. Even as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning eyewitnesses and ministers of the word.
They brought them to us to check and see if it was all right, because we had walked with Jesus.
Verse 3. It seemed also good to me, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first.
Luke says, I felt by the Holy Spirit I also should write about Jesus from the very first, underline that. 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was, the first earth age. Luke says, I know that if the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. And there was a world age before then, this one. Isaiah 14, Lucifer said, I will be God, and brought sin into the equation. He said, I understand all of that, the mystery of God.
To write to thee in order, most excellent Theophilus.
Now, doesn't it sound like he's writing to someone named Theophilus? It sounds that way, doesn't it? The Bible is perfect, but it was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew, then Greek, or Aramaic and Chaldean. When they tried to translate it into English, they tried to find a perfect English word that agrees with the original manuscript. But Theophilus is not an English word. It's a Greek word. That is called a transliteration. When they can't find the right word, they transliterate it. They bring it down in the original language. Actually, they should have translated it, friend of God. Are you a friend of God?
Yes.
Well, he wrote it to you.
Amen.
Verse 4. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia.
Now, in Chronicles, we find that God had appointed certain priests to have two different times to serve every year, and that those times they served were called courses. The priest had to be of the tribe of Levi. That is a political, that is not a political, excuse me, that is a priest line. And the course of Abia, Abia in the Hebrew calendar is our month of June. So the course of Abia is from June 13th to June 19th. Everybody say that. June 13th to June 19th. This is going to help you understand the actual birthday of Jesus. Okay, we got Zechariah.
And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
Now, Aaron was, of course, the tribe of Levi. Elizabeth's name means oath of Yah. She was just as dedicated to God as was her priest husband, Zechariah.
Verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless.
They actually obeyed every law. They loved God and they served him with all their heart.
Verse 7. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and now they were both well stricken in years.
They had prayed so long for a child, it seemed too late. What is your dream? Does it seem too late? Let's hear the rest of the story.
8. It came to pass while he executed the priest's office.
Okay, it's time for him to go to Jerusalem, and he's got to be there on June 13th. Okay, there are no cars there, no airplanes. He's got to take a donkey. It's hill country. It'll take him from 3 to 4 days to get there. He has to stop at night and lodge somewhere so the thieves won't get him. So he finally arrives there, and he begins his course on June 13th. Okay, the first day of the course of Abia. He's in the temple, the Holy of Holies.
Before God, in the order of his course, 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to bring incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
His job there was to pray for all the people. Incense means prayer. Now, he would go in there. Only the high priest could go in the Holy of Holies. There was a great big veil, and behind that was Almighty God. Now, they would put little bells on the priest's robe because if the priest went in there with sin, he would die because sin cannot stand the presence of God. And they would have to take a little hook and drag him out there. We pray we don't hear those bells. Did you hear those bells?
10. And the whole multitude of people were standing without at the time of incense.
They had morning prayers and they had evening prayers. Now, they are outside and they would gather there so that it could be prayed for by Zechariah.
11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord.
Now, usually in the Bible, when it says angel of the Lord, it means the very presence of God himself. This time is an exception. This is the angel Gabriel sent from God to give him a message.
Standing at the right side of the altar of incense.
Always go to the right.
And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear came upon him.
I don't blame him. Many years ago, I looked up at the foot of my bed. There was this great big warrior angel. Good Lord, I was troubled.
13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah.
Don't be afraid.
For thy prayer is heard.
God heard your prayers, you and Elizabeth, asking for a son.
And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
John? In Bible times, they always named the firstborn after the father. But instead of saying Junior, they would say the less. He should have been named Zechariah the less. No, call his name John. John is the grace of God. God is gracious.
14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. 15. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord.
Jesus would say John the Baptist was one of the greatest prophets.
And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink.
The vow of the Nazarite, no alcoholic beverages.
And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb.
The baptism right there in a little embryo.
16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias.
Elijah, the prophet.
To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just.
Now, Malachi chapter 4 says, before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord, the first advent and the second coming of Jesus, God will send Elijah. And he will tell you there are two fathers. John the Baptist was Elijah in spirit, because Elijah never died. And the first thing he said, repent, ye generation of vipers, your brood of the serpent. That wasn't a snake in the garden, that's one of the devil's name. The Elijah anointing always tells you there are two fathers, God our Father, and that the devil beguiled Eve in the garden, and of course Cain was a child of the devil. Now, the Antichrist is about to appear. About 10 days before he comes, you're going to be aware of two people, and we don't know when that's going to be. They're going to be telling you that, look out, the devil has children. Goodness, you just heard it, didn't you? Yes. They're the two witnesses with the anointing of Elijah. The Elijah anointing always tells you they're two fathers.
To make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.
18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this?
How shall you know this, Zechariah? You're a priest. You're supposed to know the word. You're supposed to know the scriptures.
For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. 19.
Zechariah doubted. Now that's not good for a priest. Gabriel's not going to be happy about that.
And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel.
Just in case you don't realize who I am.
Who stands in the presence of God, and am sent unto speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings.
You should be jumping up and down, Zechariah. Your prayers answered. What's the matter with you?
20. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not speak until the day that these things be performed.
Now that sounds harsh, but it's not. It's a blessing in disguise. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life in the power of the tongue. Every time you speak, something begins to be created, death or life. Zechariah could have looked at his wife aging there, past menopause, morning sickness, not feeling well. Darling Elizabeth, I don't think you're going to make it. She could have said, I don't think I'm going to make it either. And with their words, they could have aborted the plan of God. Christian, how many times have you aborted God's plan in your life by not believing the word of God? It was there, you said it, but then you said something else. That's word abortion.
Because thou believest not my words.
Isaiah says, believe my word, believe my prophets.
Which shall be performed in their season.
What God says shall come to pass.
21. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple.
They were wondering, shall we give him the hook? In early vaudeville and theater, when an actor was not doing very well on the stage, got kind of bad there, the director would say, give him the hook. And I would come this hook behind the curtain, around his neck, he'd go off, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, dancing a little way, give him the hook. So you don't want God to give you the hook.
22. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and rendered speechless.
Trying to explain to them something happened there.
23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own home.
Now he had to stay there and minister all day, June 13th to June 19th. All day long he served there, June 19th. That was the last day of his course. However, in Bible times, the next day began at sundown. So at sundown, it was June 20th. But it's dark, he's traumatized, it's hill country, he's got to take a donkey, and it's going to take him 3 or 4 days to get home. So normally, he would just wait until early the next morning, which would still be June 20th, to go. However, history documents that on June 20th, it was a Sabbath day. The law of Moses said you cannot travel on the Sabbath day. So he had to stay in his room all day long on June 20th. At sundown, it was June 21st. But again, dark, hill country, donkey, traumatized, 3 or 4 days. So he waits until early on June 21st, and he starts to trek home. And he arrives home on June 24th. At sundown, it will be June 25th. Obviously, he takes a little tablet and tells Elizabeth that they're going to have a baby. Now, the sand goes through the hourglass, and guess what happens? June 25th, and they retire.
24. And after those days,
after they go to their master bedroom, if you get my drift,
his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months.
It was customary to hide yourself 5 months. So now it's November 24th. But at sundown, it'll be November 25th. Where is Jesus?
Saying, verse 25, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men.
She praises God.
26. And in the sixth month.
It is now December 24th, but at sundown, it'll be December 25th. Where is Jesus?
The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
Mary in the Hebrew is Miriam, which means a tear.
28. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into mind, what manner of salutation should this be?
She's just young. She's 15, I'm no more than 16 years old. She says, goodness, what is this angel saying to me? Me? I'm favored of God? That's amazing.
30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary.
Don't be afraid, young lady.
For thou hast found favor with God. 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
Yeshua in the Hebrew, Jesus' name means Yahweh's Savior, and he shall save his people from their sins.
32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest.
The Son of God.
And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David.
God had promised King David that there would always be someone to sit on that throne until Jesus' second coming. Ezekiel says, until Shiloh come. Did you know there's someone on that throne today? Remember that the tribes migrated. Queen Elizabeth is of that tribe, and she is right now sitting on the throne of David. She's about 95, and the Bible says that nobody's going to sit on that throne until Shiloh come, until Jesus comes. It's later than you think.
33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever.
Of his kingdom there shall be no end.
And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
That's what I said.
34. Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, since I know not a man?
Now, she's not disagreeing. She thinks that she's going to have a baby, but she says, I've not been with a man. I'm a virgin. I'm not going to go to bed with anybody until I get married. Do you want me to marry early? Shall Joseph and I get married early so we can have this baby? See, she's not doubting. She's a young girl. She just knows about the birds and bees. I haven't done that, she says.
35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
In other words, the Word is going to impregnate you. The Bible says the Word is a seed. Everything in that Bible is a seed. Jesus is the living Word. So this will be an immaculate conception.
36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her.
Now, if there's anything worse than not having anyone there with you when your heart is broken, even worse is having a revelation of God, and you can't find one Christian in the world can understand it. I'm sorry to say, most Christians are too logical, too practical. In other words, we have a supernatural existence, and they'll pour cold water on it. But this is so good for Mary. She knows everybody's going to think she's been bad, and they're going to want to stone her. But at least there's somebody's going to understand that she's still a virgin.
It was called barren. 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Let's all say that verse. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen.
Amen.
38. And Mary said,
okay, the sand just went through the hourglass. It's sundown. And now it is December 25th.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word.
And the word went into her. Jesus, the living word. The word is a seed. Every time you read the Bible, you say you're asking for something, you read the word, let that seed impregnate your spirit, and you'll birth the answer.
And the angel departed from her.
Mission accomplished, Gabriel. Good job.
39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city in Judea, and entered into the house of Zechariah.
Now, she can't be 9 months pregnant. She's only about a half of a day pregnant there. So she gets up, hill country, donkey, up we go. She's going to see Elizabeth. Notice she does not tell any human being. Be very careful. If you're a chosen vessel, God's going to tell you some awesome things. Don't tell every Christian you know. They'll pour cold water on it. Only tell the person who is a kindred spirit.
I saluted Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. This is Mary, your cousin. Elizabeth's mother and Mary's cousin were sisters.
41. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. 42. And she spoke out with a loud voice.
John the Baptist couldn't restrain himself in there. He just jumped for joy. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will not whisper. When you say or when you pray, you can't help it. God is so powerful. You will shout. Let the Holy Spirit fall on you. How about we shout? Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Blessed thou among women, and the fruit of thy womb. And what is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me?
Don't you know that was music to Mary's ears? In other words, she's not told her one thing that happened, and Elizabeth already knows that this is an immaculate conception, and she's going to birth the Christ child. What good news, kindred spirits.
For as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. 45.
In the presence of the Lord, there is joy.
Blessed is she that believed.
I'm glad you believe, Mary, because my husband Zachariah did not believe. He's still not speaking.
That there shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told her.
God's going to answer that. That's going to be, you're going to bear the Messiah.
From the Lord. 36. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior.
Mary sings the first hymn in Luke. It's called the Magnificat. Now let's fast forward 3 months. John the Baptist is born. Zechariah regains his speech, and he calls him John. Zechariah sings a second hymn in Luke. It's called the Benedictus. Mary's 3 months pregnant, and she goes back home. Let's fast forward 6 months. Mary is now 9 months pregnant. It is September 25th. The baby could come any moment. But as always, the devil has to put a glitch in it. Caesar Augustus says, Joseph and Mary, you have to come up to Bethlehem to be taxed. Oh my goodness. It's about a 4-day journey. It's hill country. They've got to pack the baby's things. Mary's water could break. They've got to stop at night and stop along the way and rest. But they go. And in Bethlehem, they arrive on September 29th. Mary says, Joseph, the baby's coming. The water just broke. Joseph has money, so he says, may I rent a room, please? The tavern keeper says, I'm sorry. There's no room in the inn. But he looks at Mary. He says, I have a cave. There's a stable in there. Your wife can give birth on the hay. So Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, a feeding trough. Now that was September 29th, but at sundown it was September 30th, and then it would be October. On the Hebrew calendar, our October is called Tishri, and the Hebrew calendar, that's the seventh month, seventh perfection, as the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles means that God comes and dwells with you. So, Jesus was conceived on December 25th. When does life begin? At the conception, we have the technology to prove us. So, Max, you just had a birthday. You're 9 months older than you thought. We're all 9 months older. So it's very fitting that we should celebrate December 25th because life begins at conception. But the actual baby came out of the womb on September 29th, sundown 30, and pushing the Feast of Tabernacles. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus arose from the dead, and Jesus is coming again. To sum it all up, I wrote you a poem. Lucifer shouted, "I will be God." Thus death entered the equation. But the Word became flesh, defeated death, and opened the door to salvation. Love gives. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very great. Very well, Miss Sherry. That was awesome. That was an awesome word.
Awesome word. Yeah. The Word made flesh. Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the car. Does he could put his stuff in the bag? What is Scott's stuff?
"For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16.
Great, Scott. Great word.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You very much. Now, if anybody's not saved, before I pray for healing, let's get you saved. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. This Lord Jesus came to save you. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And use me to increase.
Use me to increase.
The kingdom of Jesus Christ.
The kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Now, for everybody in cyberspace, Romans says confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone with your mouth. You may tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott, is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. Leave your confession on my voicemail. I will get it. And when I do, I will pray for you. Now, for healing. Notice that the Word is a seed of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is a living Word. And the Word went into Mary, the seed of Father, and so the seed of God, the Son of God, was born. Your Bible is the Word of God. When you want to be healed, go and put the seed to impregnate you with healing. With Jesus' stripes, I am healed. He sent his word and healed them. He restores health and cure. The Son of Righteousness rides with healing in his wings. See, a lot of you read that, but you never get impregnated with it. You say it, but then you abort it by saying you're so sick. So let's everybody say, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
With Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
Now let that go down into your spirit, and you will birth healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious unto you, and lift up his countenance upon you. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you, and I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound
on WMIE 91.5 FM. When the mountains look so big.
You name is my first defense. And oh, your name is my last amen. It carries me when I cannot stand. It reaches me when I reach the end. Jesus, your name, when the whole world shakes. Jesus, your name, I will never praise. My battle cry every night. Fights for me and it won't relent. I cast my cares, every burden fall. For there's one name that can bear them all. dead bones light. Oh, shine on in, give these dead bones light.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
I have seen so many teardrops fall to the ground. I've held the hand of God's children, once lost and now found. I have walked it and I know that my King is in life, and no other one has the love you provide. I want all who I meet to see you through me. I want all that I speak to be you. If there's with the desire to give you control, to lay down all my dreams so you have my heart in full. Lord, I know this weary battle, it begins on my knees. In everything, I want you to be pleased. I want all who I meet to see. That the whole world would seek your face.
And in spite of who I can be, please reign in me. Oh yeah, reign in me. Yeah, reign in me. Yeah, reign in me.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
The reason why a lot of us aren't better is we haven't run out of human options yet.
Dr. Tony Evans says, when we do, we realize faith in God is legit.
See, that's when you know this thing is real. When you've been dealing with it for 12 years, no human solution, and soon, heaven opens up, and you see God intervene.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Too often, we think of turning to God as a last resort, when our backs are against the wall, the enemy is closing in, and we're fresh out of ideas. Well, today, Dr. Evans talks about taking a more heavenly approach to solving our earthly problems. Let's join him.
We're told that there is a problem, that there is a problem. Luke chapter 8 identifies the problem this way in verse 43. And the woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. The King James calls it an issue of blood. She's bleeding, and she's been having this problem with bleeding for 12 years. Now, if you are bleeding, your life is ebbing away, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. When Mark tells us the story, Mark tells us in Mark chapter 5 that she had spent all of her money on the doctors. So not only had this illness diminished her physically, it had diminished her financially. But not only was it physical, not only was it financial, it was also spiritual. Because Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 and following says that when a woman bled, she was unclean. She could not be touched, which meant that the spiritual problem related to a social problem. Because if you touched her and she was unclean, you became unclean. So let's just put it this way. I love the King James. This woman had issues, all related to the blood. She had issues. Mark tells us that not only did she have issues, but it says it got worse. Mark says she spent all of her money on the doctors, and after spending all this money, things were no better. In fact, her condition was getting worse. Well, she hears that Jesus is in town. In fact, the preceding three verses says that Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because he was an official in the synagogue, and he needed help for healing in his own home with his daughter. So we got a man with a daughter. Jesus is on his way to heal him. On his way, this woman with the issue intervenes. Verse 43 says, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Okay, then we've got a problem for 12 years. Before we get into the details of this, I want you to notice something. Jesus fixed a 12-year-old problem immediately. If this lady could have gotten a hold of Jesus 12 years earlier, she wouldn't have had 12 years worth of issues that had gone unresolved. This thing had accumulated, people had not been able to solve it, and it says immediately the blood flow stopped. She was healed. Now, that's all Luke tells us. Luke just says, she touched his cloak. She was healed. But when you look at Matthew, it says, Matthew chapter 9, it says, she touched the hem of his garment. Luke says, she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So this lady starts talking to herself. And she said, but I've had an issue folk can't help me with. Professionals can't heal. But if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. See, the synoptics, each gospel writer is giving you something from his perspective, and that's why when you read the different stories, you'll find a phrase or a word in one story. You won't find it in another story until you look at all three of them together to get the whole story and to get the rest of the story. So this woman comes to a conclusion. People have not been able to help me. My money is funny. It's all gone. I've still got these flowing issues in my life that are only getting worse, but there's something about Jesus. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. To understand that, you have to go back to Numbers chapter 15, verse 38 through verse 40. Because Numbers verse 15 says, when you put on your robe, on the four corners of your robe, there should be a tassel. A tassel, like graduates wear when they wear their graduation tassels. A tassel of blue. These tassels are to remind you of God's word. These hanging tassels are to remind you of God's word and God's commandments and God's expectations and God's demands. It was God's word. That's the tassels. Every time those tassels are swinging as you walk, it was to remind you of God's word. That's what Numbers 15 says. So when she says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, it would be translated to say, if I could grab one of them tassels. That's what she was saying. If I could grab one of those tassels. Now, what was the connection? She believed that if I grabbed, the word touch means to grab, if I grab one of the hems of those garments, I can get God's word to work for me. Okay? So this wasn't just grabbing the hem of the garment. Now watch this now. The tassel is hanging at the bottom of the cloak. Okay? The tassel is at the bottom. So in order to grab a tassel, you got to get low. Okay. Tassel not up here on the shoulders. Tassel is at the hem of his garment. You got to humble yourself. See, if you're still proud and you're not willing to get low to the tassel,